Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Alex McFarland, your guest host here today. And, you know, you meet a lot of people in the Christian world, and every now and then you meet somebody and you say, wow, I am really glad that guy is on our team. We've got a very special friend here at the seminary right now. His name is Phil Fernandez. For those who read Billy Graham's Decision magazine last fall, you'll remember there was a very prominent article by Phil Fernandez on how to share Christ with an atheist. Phil Fernandez is the president of the Institute for Biblical Defense, and he's debated a lot of the prominent atheists. And so right now, he's going to tell us about his ministry, and he's going to give us tips, pointers, for how to share the gospel with somebody who doesn't even believe God exists. He's a dear brother. He's an author. We'll learn all about what God's doing through his life. He is our guest now, Dr. Phil Fernandez. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
Oh, it's great to be here, Alex.
You know, today is the day, August 6th, by the way, in history. This was the day the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima years ago. But there's been another bombshell that's hit America recently, and that's atheism, of all things. Phil, what's going on? All these books like The God Delusion. We thought that maybe atheism was dead 50 years ago, but what's up, my friend?
It's interesting, and it's difficult to figure out exactly what the causes are, but whatever the case, the atheists seem to be getting a little bit, or at least some atheists, that we call them the new atheists or the militant atheists. People like Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, and they're kind of atheists with an attitude. It's almost like they're getting impatient with Christianity and people of other traditional religions, and they're saying that, look, this stuff is antiquated, you know, it's outdated, it's not scientific, and we need to get these people, they're kind of implying they need to get us out of the way. They're referring to, Richard Dawkins refers to teaching children about God as child abuse. So the rhetoric has really kicked it up a notch. And I'm just glad that there are evangelicals who are out there responding to it. I know you've had one up here, Dinesh D'Souza, a brilliant young scholar. And
he'll be at the event in November also, by the way.
Debating Michael Shermer, another one of the world's leading atheists.
Yeah, you know, in my pitch for the conference in the first segment, I didn't even mention that, folks. In addition to Dr. Dobson, Josh McDowell, Chuck Colson, the November 7 and 8 event has a debate live in person. The atheist Michael Shermer, the publisher of the Skeptical Inquirer, will be debating Dinesh D'Souza there in person. So, folks, it's really big, and Phil, you'll be there too. But talk to us just a little bit. How did you get into this? I mean, you don't wake up one day and say, you know, gee, I think I'm going to debate atheists for a living. How did you get into this type of work?
Well, I grew up in a Roman Catholic home. But I didn't really believe, and as I got older, I eventually got out of Catholic school and transferred to the public school, and many of my teachers were, basically from the counterculture movement, what we would call hippies, and a few of them influenced me in their skepticism, their atheism, their rejection of God, and so I really became rather skeptical when I was about 18, but took a few years for God to reach out to me. I was in the United States Marine Corps when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And so when I became a Christian, I thought about all the questions that I had as a skeptic. And so I began to look for answers so that when other Marines would, when I would witness to them, they would raise objections to the Christian faith, and I would try to respond to them. So I got real interested. I was taking navigator studies, got real interested in the Bible Answer Man, who at that time was the late Dr. Walter Martin, and so I began to study apologetics, and one thing led to another. Eventually, I started studying at Liberty University, and under the great he would never say it himself, but Gary Habermas, former professor of both of us, and the world's leading scholar on the resurrection. And so one thing led to another. So I eventually started the Institute of Biblical Defense to defend the Christian faith, and suddenly, I was getting emails and phone calls from atheist organizations that had somehow stumbled onto my work, asking me to take debates. I mean, I was called at one time from Buffalo, New York, from Paul Kurtz's organization, the editor of the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2, asking me if I would debate Jeffrey J. Lauder, the founder of Internet Infidels, right here in North Carolina at Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill campus. And I'm from Washington State, you know, originally from New Jersey, but now I reside in Washington State. So we don't market ourselves well, but somehow, whether it was through written literature or work on the internet, atheists found out about what we were doing, and so I've been invited numerous times to debate atheists.
Well, you've debated, but probably some of the main objections in the debates are objections that maybe listeners hear in their own personal walk and witness. What are some of the things people say? I mean, if you try to share Christ and somebody says, well, hey, wait a minute, I don't even believe God exists.
Yeah.
What are some of the common reasons, Phil?
Well, I actually think that deep down inside we know God exists, and so I think it's more of a moral issue than an intellectual issue. At the same time, there is often that intellectual smokescreen that helps keep people away from dealing with the true issue of Jesus and his salvation. But whatever the case, those objections could be anything from the problem of evil. How can an all-good, all-powerful God coexist with evil and human suffering?
That's like Bart Ehrman's recent book, God's Problem.
Yeah, and I haven't read that one yet. I'll have to look into it. But I know Bart Ehrman is a brilliant guy, and he's a brilliant New Testament scholar. But I'm really hearing a lot of people who are disappointed with his work in New Testament studies because he clearly misrepresents the textual evidence, and so I hope he's not going to start doing that now in the philosophical arena as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny, if there's no God, how could God have a problem?
Yeah, yeah. There's the whole idea of evil. You know, good can exist totally without evil. I mean, God exists. At one time, God was the only thing that exists, the three persons of the Trinity, the mm-hmm. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But evil cannot exist apart from something good, because evil, by definition, is a perversion of something that is good, a corruption of it, a privation, a lack of a good that should be there. So, you know, for the atheist, like Richard Dawkins, to talk about how evil the God of the Bible is, and Christopher Hitchens would say amen to that, what standard are you using? You know, it is like these guys are... It's like they placed themselves on the mountaintop, not believing in the Ten Commandments, and then using the Ten Commandments to try to call God into judgment. They have no moral foundation whatsoever.
Talk to us. One of the popular books and sadly best-selling, the Sam Harris book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, he's got a couple of them, like a Letter to a Christian Nation,
right.
And also... Is God the end of faith? Or?
Yeah, God is not great. How religion?
That's Christopher Hitchens.
Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah. And I tend to. Ravi Zacharias wrote a little tiny book. I think it's one of the best books that Ravi wrote, called The End of Reason, where what I like about Ravi, a great Christian apologist, another former student of the Norman Geisler, who's the founder of Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Ravi's on our board, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. He comes here occasionally and does some teaching, and I think he may be the greatest living apologist, Christian apologist right now, and because he combines that great intellect with the Eastern passion. He grew up in India.
Sure.
And but in that book, not only does he intellectually refute Sam Harris's stuff, but you see Ravi's passion come out. I mean, so just knowing of Ravi's ministry, I was actually surprised mm-hmm. how passionate and when the righteous anger would come out. But I do think that's going to be part of the dialogue with the new atheist. Because a large portion of it, even though he's like, you know, Richard Dawkins out of Oxford, this guy is you know, my question for Dawkins and Hitchens, my ultimate question for them is, if you don't believe God exists, why do you hate him with so much passion? because it becomes really clear that this is more than...
It's very vitriolic.
Yeah, I've debated, you know, people like Michael Martin and Jeffrey J. Lauder, and you can have an intellectual, a friendly intellectual dialogue with most thinking atheists. That's not the case with Dawkins and Hitchens.
They're just venomous. One of the big things that they love to say is that religion has caused many evils in the world. We've got a break coming up, but when we come back, I want to talk about that, Phil, and other ways to witness to atheists. Our guest on Truth Talk Live in this segment is Phil Fernandez, Dr. Phil Fernandez. He's a pastor, an author, an educator, and he's got an article in Billy Graham's Decision Magazine recently on sharing Christ with an atheist. That's what he's going to teach us to do when we come back after this break on Truth Talk Live. Stay with us because we're coming back with Phil Fernandez. Truth Talk Live. You can download over 1,000 sermon, lectures, debates, articles at biblicaldefense.org. Biblicaldefense.org. That's the website of Dr. Phil Fernandez. He's our guest on Truth Talk Live. He's telling us how to share Christ with an atheist. Phil, thanks for being with us and welcome back.
Oh, it's great being here, Alex.
You've debated the bit. Michael Martin, I remember when I was in grad school, his book, Atheism, like 500 pages, was like the compendium on atheism. You debated him.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I got to ask you, like when you're debating these famous world-renowned atheists and you're representing Christianity, I mean, there's a lot on the line. Yeah. Are you nervous?
Yeah, I do get... I do get nervous, and it's not like, I'm going to be embarrassed tonight. I do get nervous because I start thinking, a couple hours before the debate, I start thinking about, you know, hey, I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. And so I really, you know, I really start having regrets about, you know, why am I doing this? And I do a lot of praying, but by the time the debate starts, I think the Lord really, you know, it's like he humbles me and gets my heart ready. For the debate, and so by the time the debate starts, I have that boldness, that confidence that only comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Lord really reassures me. Look, you're doing what I called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust me to take care of the results, and then you just go out there and you do the best you can. And obviously, you know, it takes years of study if you're going to dialogue with men who've taken years of study from the other side. So.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the common things that we hear, and I've heard it said and many times, they'll say, well, you know, religion is responsible for much of the cruelty that has happened throughout history. How do you respond to an objection like that?
Yeah, Christopher Hitchens' book, God Is Not Great, Religion Poisons Everything, that subtitle, that really sums it up there. Is where they're coming from, and I really would have no problem with that if they would just add another word. If they say false religion poisons everything, I'd be in total agreement. Even perverted forms of Christianity can cause all kinds of harm. But even Christianity at its worst, where it's been so watered down, and you know. We're Protestants, you know, like a Roman Catholic form where, let's say, you get a bad pope and you have the Inquisition and you have the Crusades. The Crusades are actually defensive, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But even if you take Christianity at its worst, which, you know, Jesus said that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So just because somebody claims to be Christian doesn't make them Christian. You've got to practice what you preach. But whatever the case, even Christianity at its worst, when you compare that with atheism in the 20th century alone, we don't even come close. The atheistic worldview, if you just look at Red China, where atheistic communism there and atheistic communism of the old Soviet Union, you're looking at nearly 100 million of their own people that were executed during peacetime alone. So we have to understand, we Americans are oblivious to this, to the research of Dr. Rummel, where he coined democide, death by government.
Mm-hmm.
But big governments in the 20th century alone killed more people during peacetime than have died in the history of mankind's wars put together. But atheism was at the core of that.
Phil Fernandez, dialoguing with atheists about Christ on Truth Talk. We're back on Truth Talk Live. Phil Fernandez is our guest in this segment. Phil, time fleets away, so talk to us briefly about sharing the gospel. How do we get from I'm an atheist to the gospel message with an unbeliever?
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm all for just preaching Jesus. But when people raise objections, like atheist objections, then we've got to try to do our homework and answer those objections. But with atheists, like with anybody else, first I would start with prayer. We've got to depend on the Holy Spirit for the wisdom and the love that we need to share with other people. And then we've got to speak the truth in love. I would befriend atheists. When I debate world-famous atheists, I usually try to hug them at the end just to show them I really do care about them. And I would love to see them in heaven someday. But then I would use more of a cumulative case, because not every argument works with every person. And so I would use a cumulative case, a lot of different arguments. And I would try to just argue that, look, theism, belief in God, is more reasonable than atheism in each of these areas, whether it's the beginning of the universe, the design in the universe, our moral experience, truth and knowledge, our ability to know, human free will, that in each one of these common aspects of human experience, theism, belief in God, is a more reasonable explanation than atheism.
Give us those things again.
Just off the top of my head, the origin of the universe. Most atheists acknowledge the universe had a beginning. Well, if the universe had a beginning,
it had to have a beginner.
From nothing, nothing comes. Something eternal had to bring the universe into existence. The design, you could even argue for the continuing existence of the universe as well, like Thomas Aquinas did, the design and order that we find in the universe. I mean, it is not a scientific statement to say a big explosion, the Big Bang, produced all the order and complexity in the universe we find today. Explosions, when we scientifically examine the effects of explosions, it takes things from a state of order and complexity to a state of disorder and chaos. Mm-hmm. Our moral experience, mm-hmm. that makes more sense in a theistic universe rather than an atheistic universe. Our ability to know, it seems to me that the Christian explanation that we were created in God's image, and since God is a knower, He created us with the ability to know, and He created the universe in such a way that through human reason we really could find truth about the world in which we live. Free will and human responsibility. Atheists want to see murderers behind bars and criminals behind bars. But if we're just biological machines and we don't have a human soul, a non-material soul, then our behavior is biologically determined. We're not really responsible for our actions.
And, you know, it amazes me that so many of these atheists that rail against God still want to see our society moral.
They want to build a better world, which implies there's an eternal, unchanging standard of right and wrong above all individuals, all societies, and any world consensus. Hence, you need a moral lawgiver.
Phil, we got to have you back on Truth Talk Live. Your website is biblicaldefense.org.
Yeah.
Listeners, keep us in prayer. The November 7-8 conference is coming. Go to ses.edu to learn about apologetics and how you can get equipped to defend the faith.
This is the Truth Radio Network.